Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Today is March 22nd, 2021. I really hope you guys are having a fantastic start to your week. And you know, it's an unusual Monday when discussing the NCAA tournament, right? Because usually the games would be, you know, said and done. You know, usually it's like a a weekend just basketball fest. It ends on Sunday, and then we can kind of recap what's taking place the following weekend on that Monday show. But, you know, because of COVID now, they've extended things. And, you know, the round-by-round matchups, the weekend matchups, if you will, they end on Monday. So right now, as I speak, March Madness is still taking place, folks, which is kind of cool, even though it's a bit different, all right? But man, oh man, what a weekend it was. A lot occurred. I'm sure many brackets out there are totally busted and on flames. I actually called a few upsets. I got very, very lucky, okay? Not going to sit up here and toot my own horn about it, but I am leading both of my NCAA tourney pools, so I'm feeling pretty confident about that. We'll see what happens when dust settles on today's games. But we're talking all things March Madness. Before I proceed, though, I have to let you guys know, and we'll recap this game on the Tuesday edition of the show, but the Michigan State women's basketball team tonight at 6 p.m. inside of the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. 10 seed Michigan State will take on 7 seed Iowa State in the NCAA women's basketball tournament. That's right, Susie Merchant and company will get at it at 6 p.m. So in the midst of watching all of the men's tournament action, be sure to support the Michigan State women's basketball team tonight. I'll be watching glued to my TV. Hopefully, you know, Nia Clouton and company can go off. All right, so have to mention that. But today, we will welcome our college basketball expert, if you will, Deshaun Tate at Tate's Take Hoops. He does a fantastic job with his podcast, and, you know, he's always willing to come on our show and give us his great college hoops insight. And I want to recap the weekend that was in college basketball and get Tate's take on the madness that was. Enjoy this. I got to get this off my chest because I tweeted about it yesterday. I put it on my Facebook status yesterday and got a lot of response. But I'm just so annoyed about what has happened in the tournament in relation to the Big Ten Conference, Deshaun, because the Big Ten Conference has not had a great showing. People are hearing this right now, Deshaun. At the same time, Iowa is trying to knock off Oregon. And of course, this is Oregon's first game because of course, what happened against VCU and the whole COVID situation. But the Big Ten, having the most representatives of any conference in college basketball in the tournament, it has been an utter disappointment. What have been your thoughts in watching the showing or lack thereof
from the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm not really getting too bent out of shape about it, to be honest with you. I mean, we're having a totally different conversation if the Big Ten does not have one representative in the Final Four. You know, and I know that the expectations is a national championship, and I understand that. I overstand that. However, you know, I don't see it the way that everybody else sees it. If I'm just being honest with you, Al, I mean, listen, you got teams like Illinois, Ohio State, teams that have lost that I really wasn't the biggest believer in myself. I think that the reality is this. You still have Michigan in this thing, and they were the clear-cut favorite the entire way. Now, we were talking about Michigan. I think we might be having a different conversation. I had them losing in the Sweet 16. But there's been other conferences that have been really good. I'm not sure if we'll stop hearing Bill Walton's mouth about how a conference of champions and how well that they've been doing and so forth. But I don't think it's overrated at all. I think it was clear cut. Those were some of the best teams in the country. And of course, Iowa's still in it. Michigan's still in it. And we'll just have to go from there. We'll just have to see.
And you know what, Deshaun, I got to be real with you, man. I think LSU is going to nip Michigan today. I got a feeling. I did a lot of reading on that matchup last night when prepping for the show today. I think they match up well, and I think that the loss of Isaiah Livers is major, going to prove to be major when it comes today. But, hey, we'll see. But I got to ask this, too, because it seems like, you know, listening to you then in the tone that you take in talking about the Big Ten, it seems like your expectation wasn't one of immense success when talking about the Big Ten Conference. It seems like you're not surprised. Just like you said, you're not surprised with the way things have shaken out. You know, Illinois losing to Loyola Chicago. You know, Rutgers, my gosh, blowing that lead to Houston. Wisconsin coming up short against Baylor. Baylor, of course, being a top seed in the tournament. With that being said, Deshaun, and kind of reading your tone there, do you still think that the Big Ten is the best conference in college basketball?
Well, I think that the Big Ten was the best conference in college basketball this year. On top of that, listen, I think that the Big Ten got more teams in, at least two more, I think, than any other conference. So there's going to be more losses. And listen, it's still process of elimination for everybody. I don't care what conference you're in. I don't care who you are, whatever the case may be. In order to get to the Final Four, in order to get to the national championship game or to win the national championship, you will be out. So what kind of conversation are we having about the Pac-12, the Big 12, SEC, or some of the other conferences that still have a lot or a bulk of their best teams remaining? Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's not just about the Big Ten disappointment. It's about the teams at the top of the conference that have seemed to disappoint some people. I'm not sure that anybody really seen Rutgers giving Houston the game that they did after beating UConn. For Maryland that beat UConn, rather, to do that and to still be alive. At the end of the day, we will see where everyone stands in the end. Now, if we're talking about how it was a few years ago where half of the teams, ACC teams, were in the Elite Eight. You had four in the Elite Eight one year. Then I think we're having a different conversation. But we're only talking about after the first weekend that I believe, you know what, some people are going to feel like, well, yeah, exactly. That's my point. But like I say, I think the bigger deal here is the fact that it's the teams at the top that seem to have disappointed a lot of people. Yet still, you still have some of the teams that were at the top that are still from the Big Ten that are existing in this thing and still playing. And that's Iowa and that's Michigan. And they're still surviving. And we'll see if they advance, because this time of the year, that's what it's about. Survive and advance.
Yeah, it's just really annoying for me. This is just me. This is Al Martin's take on this. And those who follow me know this. I don't want to hear about the Big Ten being the best conference in college basketball until I see the Big Ten perform when it matters. They beat up each other all throughout the regular season within the conference. And does that probably have something to do with the way they perform in March? Maybe some of these teams are beaten down by the time March gets here. Yeah, but I'm all about if you ain't first, you last. And if you haven't won a national championship in 21 years, Michigan State being the last team to do so in the conference, then I got a huge problem with that. Dude, brother, though, I had some cats reach out to me, some current sports listeners out there reach out to me that want to personally thank you through me, one of them being our longtime listener, Alex, who hit me up and said, yo, I owe Deshaun a beverage, man. He came up big with the Abilene Christian call there. And of course, I shouted you out on that call. You called some great ones there in that first round, Deshaun. I'm curious, though. You called a lot of upsets. Were there any that surprised you, i.e. Loyola Chicago? Man, they look good.
Yeah, listen, Loyola is one of those teams that's looking like they're ready to get back. And you start looking at the slate that they have ahead of them. Their chances look good in order to do so. I mean, if you tell me that you got to go through Syracuse, maybe in order to get there, then, I mean, listen, that's something that while it may not necessarily be likely, it's something that's doable. When you have guys like, you know, Cameron Krutwig, who is a senior now, returning back from that team that went to the Final Four, that some people actually think is better than that Final Four team. Now, me personally, I'm not going to go that far. I think that Porter Moser is definitely in position to be considered for the Indiana job. I think that person myself personally is probably Chris Beard. But nonetheless, it's still a winnable game. I told people, listen, when you start talking about these teams that finish well in their conference and in their conference tournaments and so forth that are getting on that two line or on that three line, those are the ones, if you look back, they typically bust up your bracket, because the way that we are wired as humans is that we only pay attention to this stuff, not everybody, but a large majority, only in March Madness. They're only during when conference tournament play starts. So you remember who's been playing the best brand of basketball. Would it surprise me to see Alabama fall? Absolutely not. Once they get to the Sweet 16 or even in the next round, they'll be playing later on today. But I say all that to say that there's some of these games that just simply stick out like a sore thumb. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help the people get some rent paid. I want to help the people get their bills paid here. So if I'm not doing nothing else, that there's two games that I'm really keeping a close eye on in terms of double digit seeding, and those games will be taking place today. Okay, so I want to start out with and I don't even know what the spread is. I feel like it's 5 or 6, maybe, Abilene Christian, that's going to be playing UCLA. Michigan State fans, obviously very familiar with this UCLA team, obviously. I think that they can cover that spread, but I'm going straight up on a win when it comes to Ohio. When I seen Jason Preston, when I seen Vanderplas, who looks like a guy that just has no business playing the sport of basketball, I think that they are going to be a team that's going to move on and go to the Sweet 16. So you can cash at me. You can buy me a drink. You can just let it be, you know, just appreciate you, big dog, and just give the flowers or whatever, what have you. But that's one you don't want to miss on. I like the Ohio Bobcats to be the first. Or I'm sorry, there hasn't been a 13 seed that's moved on to the Sweet 16 since they did so last. And I think that they're going to go ahead and repeat.
Oh, nice. And Creighton is actually a 5.5 point favorite in that game. You touched
vulnerable.
Yeah, right. And you touched on Ab Christian and UCLA. That game will tip off a little after 5 p.m. today. And UCLA has been on a roll. I tell you, man, Juzang, who got hurt actually in the Michigan State matchup. He's come back, man, and it's like he hasn't missed a step and has been just absolutely unstoppable. Right now, sports books have it around like a 5-point favorite in favor of the Bruins. Do you see Ab Christian getting the upset there?
I think that there's a strong chance. Again, I like the spread a little bit more with the 5, personally, with the +5 for Abilene. Listen, it's so crazy to see, and this might be another reason for why people see Shaka Smart on the hot seat, even though, you know, he's definitely coaching at a program that has a little bit more leniency on him because in comparison to the football program, it doesn't draw the same kind of attention. But they shot 29% from the field and 16%, not 60, 16% from three, and still won that game. That's credit to the defense. You got to play defense, and they're all about guards. They're probably the smallest team in the NCAA tournament right now, if you just go down the list and look at the roster. But the defense that they're playing, I think it's something that could propose some problems for UCLA. And it's not even just Johnny Juzang, who's a transfer from Kentucky. You also got to factor in Jaime Jaquez, who's been playing some really good brand of basketball too, that can give some teams some fit. So I think ultimately, potentially the front court could be an issue for them because they're a little bit more thin at that position because Chris Smith has not played in quite a long time. Yet, you know, Cronin has had the opportunities to have enough time to make those kind of adjustments that's needed and necessary to be able to add a number to the left side of the result column. But I'm not totally mad about taking Abilene Christian. If you got a couple extra dollars out of that stimulus money, if you got a little bit extra overflow from that stimmy, go ahead and put it on Abilene Christian. I still like it on the spread a lot better. I like Ohio outright, though.
Gotcha. You like that Ohio matchup. Really, really intriguing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up, like, you know, Jaime Jaquez, and you bring up, you know, Cameron Crudwig. I mean, guys that you know, they don't look like ballers at all. Look like they should be doing your taxes, not out there, you know, giving buckets out. It's amazing, you know, around this time of the year, every time when we see some guys that really just emerge as stars throughout the tournament, that's one of the pleasant surprises that I look forward to every single year. Again, we're talking with DeShawn Tate. At Tate's Take Hoops, basketball expert. He knows all things basketball, but man, does he really know his college hoops. And DeShawn, other than the upset that you're calling, that you like, I should say, with Ohio topping Creighton possibly today, any other upsets that you're looking at when you look at today's slate of games?
Yeah, I don't, honestly, I don't see it. Personally, you know, I mean, depending on what you see out of USC and Kansas, most people consider that probably like a pick'em game. I think that's where it's set at right now. Kansas kind of being a team that's kind of thin in the front court because of David McCormick. If they find a way to find themselves in foul trouble in the front court, that can propose some problems for Kansas, because USC is the biggest team that's remaining in the bracket because they were the biggest team in college basketball on the roster base this year. But I think there's some vulnerability to Alabama. I mean, Maryland plays very good defensively. While I don't expect that to be a game that Alabama will lose, Maryland is playing at a phenomenal, like with crazy kind of confidence right now. But you know what, this LSU Michigan, and I know that you say, you know, the styles make fights and matchups and so forth. The problem that I have with LSU, it's not the talent. I think it's the coaching. I think there's some vulnerability to being outcoached there. They're not a team that really plays with that chemistry, with that togetherness. They don't really appear like, in a lot of cases, I feel like they've gotten some of the best guys from the ground roots AAU circuit level and put them all of that talent on the same campus and playing in the same uniform. But I do believe, however, that they're not disciplined enough sometimes. They tend to make unforced turnovers and errors and so forth. You're not going to beat a Michigan team like that. Now, if you just look at the talent, that's something different. Now, there's also a problem when you come talking about the Michigan Wolverines because of the simple fact that they don't necessarily have the players that play the key positions, their key players. Obviously, Isaiah Livers looking like he's not going to play, but they don't have the experience this time of the year. So where you do need somebody to fill a Livers void, that's where we're talking about guys like Shondi Brown, who's a transfer from Wake Forest. So he doesn't have that winner go home experience. As good as Mike Smith has been for this team all year long, he's also a transfer from the Ivy League at Columbia. He doesn't have the March Madness experience. As outstanding as Hunter Dickinson has been all year long, He's a freshman. He doesn't have that experience either. LSU has that experience. But when it comes to the coaching, I give Juwan Howard the nod, and I like them to move on to the Sweet 16. And then I got to end in there because I got Florida State coming out of my region.
Gotcha. Okay, so no confidence in Will Wade there. You think Juwan Howard, first tournament, is going to move on? Okay, I tell you what, let's go head up here then. And you know what, I know that I won our last bet, and you still owe me a stake for that one. You know what? Let's go double or nothing here. Let's go on today's games head up, Deshaun, and see who comes out with the dub. And, you know, if I win, we'll double that stake. If you win, we're even. How's that sound?
You trying to get me to roll with the Wolverines, and you know that's not really my style. But I tell you what.
But no,
I'm confident enough in Michigan from what I've seen all year long. I'm more than willing to take the Wolverines. It doesn't look good because the Big Ten has not fared well. But I will take the Wolverines on that one. You got yourself a bet, my friend.
Well, no, I'm talking about today's full slate. Whoever comes out with the best record for the full slate of today's March 22nd games, that's how we'll roll with that wager today. How's that sound?
I love it.
There we go. So I'm going to roll. I'm going to say Iowa. Well, hold on. Let me get my list here. I want to make sure I got my official list here to make sure I don't say the wrong thing on the air here. All right. I'm going to go with Alabama, right? Okay. I'm going to go with UCLA, Kansas, LSU, Gonzaga, Creighton, instead of your, Ohio. You're big on Ohio there. I think that the Buffs of Colorado are going to beat Florida State, and I'm going to go with Iowa. So, again, Iowa, Colorado, Creighton, Gonzaga, LSU, Kansas, UCLA, and Bama. Who you got, Deshaun?
I'm going to take Iowa, Gonzaga. Let me get, here we go, UCLA and Abilene Christian. Let me take Abilene Christian. I'm going to take Abilene Christian. I'm going to go out on a limb with this thing. I'm going to take Ohio. I'll take Michigan. I'll take Florida State. I'll take, let's go Kansas. And, Maryland and Alabama. Give me Alabama. I'll take Alabama on that.
All right. All right. Let the games begin. Okay. We're going to be tweeting each other later on today.
No, for sure. And I want to throw this one last thing out there because I had an opportunity the other night after in the post-game press conference after the Hawks played the Oklahoma City Thunder. I jumped in the post-game press conference and asked Trey Young about Oklahoma, how much he's been keeping up and with Oklahoma and so forth. And while I'm not exactly sure everything, maybe he was just going on an emotional high because they just won against the team of which he cheered for growing up, being the Thunder. But he did say that he thinks that while he does believe Juwan Howard will win National Coach of the Year, that Lon Kruger deserves a little bit more consideration than he's getting for the award. And on top of that, after beating Missouri, he does think that it's possible, not likely, but it is possible for the Oklahoma Sooners to upset Gonzaga. Now, with that being said, I don't know if he intended on suiting back up for the Sooners or what, but I love his confidence, and I just wanted to kind of throw that out there because I'm definitely gonna touch base with him a little bit later after that one. But wow. Just kind of wanted to throw that one out. Yeah.
How major would that be if Gonzaga got upset by the Sooners like that? That would be wild. And actually, again, folks, so that game, Oklahoma and Gonzaga, that will tip off 40 minutes after we get off the airwaves today. So there you go, Deshaun Tate, again, down there in the ATL. You know, he's on that Hawks beat. Good question for Trey Young, who is one of my favorite young stars in the league today. I got a question here also, Deshaun. You know, when looking at this tournament, there have been so many surprises. I got to touch on Oral Roberts because they are really like, they are the Cinderella. I'm next to, even more so than Sister Jean's Loyola Chicago team. And also, shout out to Drew Valentine, Denzel's older brother. I think he's got a great coaching future ahead of him with the work that he's doing out in Loyola right now, Loyola Chicago. But Oral Roberts, where in the world did this team come from, brother?
Yeah, the only short answer that I have for that is Tulsa, Oklahoma. Outside of that, I wish I could tell you a little bit more. But listen, when you start talking about this Oral Roberts team, they're playing at a crazy confident level. Looking at, you know, Arkansas right in the face for a Sweet 16. Who's to say that they can't beat? I mean, if I would have told you that that was going to be a 15 seed, only the second one in the history of this tournament being played outside of Florida Gulf Coast and Dunk City with Andy Enfield, that they were going to go to the Sweet 16 as a 15 seed. Why can't they keep going? I mean, are we looking at Arkansas just being that team that's just invincible? I don't think so, personally. When you start talking about O'Banner in the middle, and then A. Smith as a guard, that inside outside combo, O'Banner being a guy that, you know, is putting up a double double. He's averaging 18, but he's certainly putting up, you know, I think 28 last night or something around that range. They're going to be a tough out. They play scrappy. They play extremely hard. And I know that Arkansas does too, but this isn't your typical Nolan Richardson up and down 40 minutes of hell type of team either. So I think that there are some vulnerability there a little bit, especially after they looked so confident and looked honestly quite so good in yesterday's game that they were playing against Texas Tech. And you obviously have to be really good to do that because they're a very experienced ball club and very feisty and get after it as well. But listen, when you're playing, you know this just as well as I do, Al. When you're playing with house money and someone just playing freely, all the chips are on the table. There's no expectations. There's no target on your backs. There's no pressure. Those are typically the people. That's typically the ones that are the most dangerous in a lot of cases, you know? And I really feel that way about Oral Roberts. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to take them in that game, but they are playing some of the best brand of basketball of anybody that's in this tournament after playing two full games already.
Yeah, like you said, man, they have a why not us mentality at this point. And that's the thing, man, when you talk about the tournament, a lot of those higher seeds have so much expectation to live up to that little number next to their name that they just kind of psych themselves out. But when you just let your hair down and just play the game and have no expectations, man, magic can truly, truly happen.
All right, folks, more with Deshaun Tate of At Tate's Take Hoops when we come back from this first break. Don't go anywhere.
Before we get you out of here, brother, I got two quick questions for you. So far, what have you enjoyed the most about watching, looking at this first weekend that just passed? What have you enjoyed the most about the tournament so far, man?
I think it's just watching, having the opportunity, with the exception, I obviously feel really bad for VCU, who didn't get a chance to get out there. But with that one exception, just seeing the passion, seeing the guy. And I know that this is going to sound bad, and I get a little bit of joy and excitement out of it myself. But, you know, seeing a lot of overtime games, a lot of games coming down to the wire, being very close, when you're seeing a lot of these players on the bench that are linking arms on the bench, and when this thing is over with, you know, and I hate to see it, but I love to see the passion. This is something that you don't always get in any of the other sports, especially in a bracket setting, win or go home. The emotions are flowing. The towel is over the head. I mean, guys, hands are on their heads. Hands are on their knees after games, laying out on the floor. I mean, this is the closest that we're going to get to a lot of these guys being ever stepping on an NBA floor ever again, or playing the game on a big stage, on a big level. It's probably the upsets, if I'm just being honest. I mean, when you start talking about Oral Roberts, I mean, hell, at this point, even though they're a Power 5 or Power 6 conference, Oregon State coming from nowhere advancing to the Sweet 16, the North Texas getting out of the first round, the Abilene Christian, we don't even know where that is. It's in Texas. Like Ohio, I'm going to be curious to know who's going to be the player, because I still don't think we've seen it yet, even though I have a good feeling that it's going to be Jason Preston from Ohio. But who is that player, like we saw at one point in time in Patrick O'Brien with Bradley, that nobody knew their name? And then all of a sudden, one really good run in the tournament helped them and put them in position to maybe either be a lottery pick or a lock for the first round in June's NBA draft. Those are the things I'm looking forward to. Those are the things that I've enjoyed the most so far. And it's just, listen, it's everybody has worked so hard over the course of this entire year to be COVID-free and having to make sacrifices and can't play in front of your family and friends. And in very little way, I feel for Gonzaga a little bit, because they're putting together all of this and can't do it in front of the people who have been diehard Gonzaga fans for so long. I take my cap off to those that can see at a very young age. I can't guarantee you I would have if I was their age, but seeing the big picture at the end of the day, can see that finish line and doing well doing it. I'm really kind of lost for words, man. I'm getting emotional.
Hey, man, it's an emotional time of the year, especially when you see these young kids put in so much work and finally get here, especially after a year's absence. And I wanted to say this for last, but we got to address it, man. Michigan State, and we have already touched on the loss to UCLA briefly, and the run that UCLA is currently on. But that was an incredibly disappointing game, a game in which Michigan State was favored to win. Last time we had you on, we were previewing that matchup, and we both thought that the Spartans would pull out that dub. But now that the season is over, and really it was a miracle that Michigan State was able to rally at the end of the year and even get into position for a play-in game. But how would you look at this past year for Michigan State? Do you think, even though he did say it after the game that, you know, that was his last game in a Michigan State jersey, do you think that there's a possibility that Josh Langford comes back? Is there a possibility that Aaron Henry comes back? What do you think the future is for this team, Deshaun?
Yeah, I think anything is possible when it comes to talking about guys coming back. And I'm glad that they were able to at least make it to the NCAA tournament, because you never want to be known as a part of the class that didn't do that. But it was clearly very disappointing. And there was some good to go along with some bad as well this year. You know, when you start talking about not only a win against Duke, but a win against Duke in Cameron Indoor, I'm not saying that should make up for the disappointing end result. But yet still, there's some good things that did come out of it and happen. If I would have told you that at the end of this thing that they were going to end up beating Michigan, who's been one of the most impressive teams all season, you probably would have called me crazy. So that being said, you still got to take the good with the bad. I mean, it's just a team that did not have a clear identity. There was tons of inconsistency, which was probably the only thing that was consistent. And there was a ton of inconsistency as well when it came to the rotations. I would imagine that it's not going to be that way very long, but this just goes to show to the Spartan fans, which I've always had an issue with, that feel like, oh, it's March, we can now flip the switch whenever we want to. It doesn't work like that. You do have to put in the work in order to advance, and that's something that we typically see out of Michigan State. So to not take it for granted, looking forward to them maybe bouncing back, because we don't know exactly what COVID is going to look like. I brought Jay Billis on my show last week and asked him, is it a fair assessment for us to assume, keeping our fingers, toes, and eyes crossed, that we're not in a similar position with COVID and having a season like this next year? But in the event that we are, can we see these blue blood programs? Should we expect for them to see them struggle again the same way we did this year? So, you know, I definitely want to have a little bit of leniency on some of the programs because of that. Michigan State ideally being one of them as well. But I think when it comes to the recruiting and definitely playing with more pride, more passion, not being outworked. I can understand if another team is more talented than you, but being outworked and outplayed and out hustled and so forth, that's just not the Michigan State way. I look forward to see them get back to being Michigan State again.
Again, Deshaun Tate, Tate's Take Hoops, multi-level basketball analyst and reporter. And Deshaun, what do you make of the criticism from Tom Izzo? I should say the criticism from the public centered on Tom Izzo, because I've heard a lot of that too. I've read a lot of it. It's been floating out there on Twitter. I got comments on my Facebook page. In my opinion, I think it's the easy, lazy finger to point, but Izzo does deserve some of the blame for what occurred this season. What do you make of the criticism? And do you think that Tom Izzo has lost a touch?
I don't know about lost a touch. I mean, I think certainly in some areas you have to kind of adjust to the kids that you have on your roster now, because you don't have a ton of Flint kids on this team anymore the way you once did. So you have to adjust and coach certain kids differently than you do some of the kids that you have now, because it's a totally different day and age. But that's what you're going to get out of Michigan State. Isn't how Tom Izzo reacted and how Tom Izzo, what he implements into his players, that's what we fall in love with, because he's a no-nonsense guy, zero tolerance, not going to take any crap, and that's just the type of guy that he is. And that's what we've always fallen in love with, because he holds his players accountable. And so I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. It's not like he punched a player, for crying out loud. He grabbed a player. Hey, I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the thing. You know, it annoys me so much, man. And I was very shocked, man, that Kenny Smith, who I watch all the time, and I love Kenny. I love his analysis. I think he is an underrated basketball mind and needs to get more credit for the outstanding job that he does every Thursday on Inside the NBA. But his take on Tom Izzo, I'm so glad that Charles Barkley was there to really hold him accountable for the idiotic take, in my opinion, the idiotic take of Tom Izzo was in the wrong there. I mean, you know, I look at it like this, man. So many parents are entrusting Izzo to be a parental figure in their son's life when they say, hey, go and play for Izzo at Michigan State. And they know what kind of coach Tom Izzo is. They know what they're getting. They know what they signed up for. So if you make a mistake and you go at Tom Izzo, which he encourages, by the way, you know, the mere fact that Brown felt the confidence to go at Izzo shows what kind of culture that is. He encourages that to challenge him, just like he challenged you. But if you walk away from Izzo while he's trying to tell you something, what do you expect is going to happen? Again, if you walk away from your mama, Deshaun, I'm pretty sure mom is going to have some kind of physical reaction, just like my mom would as well. Mm-hmm. I had no problem with it. And it just amazed me, man, because also the point I want to make, too, is that Izzo can't be surprised when that criticism comes because society is so different. It is a soft society that we live in today. So you know the criticism is going to come, right?
Absolutely. And let me tell you something. Listen, I mean, at the end of the day, you know what you're getting when you decide to go to Michigan State. You know what you're getting when Izzo comes and sits down at your dinner table and talks to you about and you accept, especially as a parent, putting your kid in the hands of Michigan State. We've seen it time and time again or heard it time and time again, especially earlier in the week, of the former Michigan State players that have mentioned Tom Izzo. This is not nothing new. This is the culture. He gets the best out of what he has for a reason. It's not because it's being pulled out of thin air. You hear so many of these guys that still have the kind of relationship that they do with Tom Izzo because he genuinely cares about his players. And the thing I probably love about Izzo the most is the fact that he's not just going to sit back and say, oh, well, you have to recruit this kind of way in order to win, or you have to treat the kids now this kind of way in order to, you know, win ball games and so forth. So I definitely got to give some credit to Tom Izzo for standing firmly on his stance when it came to this situation, because we just saw it not too long ago with Aaron Henry. And so I definitely think that he's all about not just making these guys better basketball players, but making them better men at the end of the day. And we don't have nearly enough of that anymore because there's so many coaches just after these kids for their talent, almost don't care what kind of man that they are or become at the end of the day. And that's just not the Tom Izzo way. And I'll always, to me, that is a win over UCLA. Because if you can get inside of these guys' minds early on in their careers to prepare them for the challenges that they will face ahead in life, that's much bigger than a basketball game in my eyes. And I just hope that Spartan Nation sees that.
That is so true, Deshaun. Outstanding job as always. Again, you can follow Deshaun on Twitter at Tate's Take Hoops. He does an outstanding job. His podcast is blowing up. Deshaun, for those who have not tuned in to your outstanding podcast, how can they do so? And I'm wondering, man, again, it's your time of the year, brother. You know, you mentioned Jay Billis coming on your show. I saw my guy, fraternity brother Rico Beard on last week as you guys were previewing, you know, Michigan State and UCLA and talking other college basketball topics as well. Who do you got this week on your platform as well, my man?
Yeah, we're working on it. I think we're going to have Matt Babcock that's going to be coming on talking about some of the players that you're seeing in the NCAA tournament, what they're going to look like going forward as they likely prepare for the NBA draft as well. We have, listen, I think Fran Fraschilla is going to be locked in for this week, obviously, as well as the Big 12 has been doing, likely going to join us as well. Dan Bonner is going to join us sometime later on, early part of this week as well. So be sure to go and subscribe. Do your part. I promise it takes you less than 30 seconds. I'll put money in your pocket if it takes you longer than 30 seconds to subscribe, unless you got an Obama phone. Anywhere that you find your favorite podcast, Tate's Take, check it out. Spread the word. We don't save it for the local barbershops. We don't save it for the local sports bars. We talk about it on Tate's Take. We like to call it the best, the most entertaining, the most informational, and the most educational basketball content on it in the form of a podcast. So remember to subscribe. Tell everybody that you know. Tell your mama. Tell your grandmama. Tell your baby mama. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody where they can find it. And that's Tate's Take. And we like to call it Where Basketball Lives. I appreciate the plug, Al. I really do.
Hey, anytime, my man. And I don't know what I'm thinking going head up with you today when it comes to today's slate of games. I should start calling you Deshaun Nostradamus Tate. But hey, I'm taking on the challenge today, and we'll see who comes out victorious, man. But I'm looking forward to it. Hey, enjoy today's games, brother.
Thank you so much. All in my element, man. You know that I will. I appreciate you for sharing this space on your platform with me. Thanks much.
The one, the only, Deshaun Tate. Thank you so much, bro. Enjoy your day, man. I'll be texting you throughout the day, bro.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Deshaun Tate, and yeah, we'll see if I can top him today. It's going to be very, very tough. He knows his stuff, but I'm up for the challenge, all right? but we'll be back at it. Again, a reminder that the Michigan State women's basketball team in the first round of the NCAA tournament, they will play Iowa State. Michigan State is the 10 seed going against Iowa State, the 7 seed. 6 p.m. inside of the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. Catch that matchup on ESPN. I'll be recapping that game on tomorrow's Current Sports. But, folks, we're out of time. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Take care. Be smart. Be safe. And, as always, be easy, people.